You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Nyandoro, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Say that again, Pastor.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Ah, lovely, lovely. Let's get into it, Pastor, so I don't keep you longer than you should. Our question for today is, should churches provide childcare during services to make them more accessible?
Yeah, it's an important question of the day. You know, the church should be a safe haven for children. It is our mandate to make sure that all the children are safe during church services. How do we ensure that we should do that? Number one, on the how aspect, the church should vet those who should be elected to work under the children's ministries. Those who are elected to be the leaders, the guide, those who guide the children should be well selected. It is the responsibility of the church also to make sure that before they appoint me to be a leader of the children's department, I should not be having a criminal record. I should be someone who is trusted, someone who is reliable, someone who is traceable, so that we know that the kids are very safe. Because later on, we have been seeing some pedophiles trying to take advantage of the church. They come to the church, they know that kids are less attended to. So whenever we gather for church programs, it is our mandate to make sure that kids are safe. It is our priority to make sure that kids are well taken care of. They have their well-structured programs. They have people who are responsible, while leaders are assigned to monitor and lead the children's department during church services. It is also the responsibility of every church member, the responsibility of every parent, to make sure that kids are safe during the church services.
So I'm curious then, Pastor.
Can I add more?
Yes. You can add more from this.
Yes, you see, even in the Bible, there are some instances whereby we have heard of some stories. Those narrations were written so that we can learn out of it. During a moment, of course, this young man was a youth. During a moment when Paul was preaching, they said he preached quite longer. You know, trying to contrast the sermons of our day, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, the sermon should be okay. But at that moment, Paul preached a little bit longer, such that another young man fell through the window, and he died. It was during church service. Can you imagine? The police officers are coming to investigate why a youth has died at church during the service. The lessons which we learn from that story is that the youths were not well taken care of. They were not well attended to. That is why they ended up having a fatality. So even in our churches today, if we do not take good care of our kids during camps, during church programs, some may even lose their lives. Some they may even perish.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is that very few are resurrecting today. They used to resurrect a long time ago.
Well, now, it is Paul who resurrected them. They didn't just miraculously resurrect by themselves. Paul, given the power to resurrect, he resurrected Eutychus, isn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
He resurrected upon receiving the power. So today, if we do not take good care of our kids,
right,
some will not resurrect until the resurrected morning. So it is our responsibility as the church to make sure that our kids are well taken care of during the church program.
So what the pastor is talking about is found in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 9. When I read it so everyone knows what we're talking about, because perhaps I might have a follow-up question there before I let the pastor go. Reading it from the New International Version, it reads, "Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead." Okay, it goes on to say Paul woke him up and resurrected him. These days in Fundis, we have children's churches. There were no children's churches during Paul's time. Why do we not do what Paul did, preach to both adults and children? And if children should find themselves falling to a deep sleep because of our long sermons, we resurrect them. Is it possible that perhaps we don't do that because we don't have the power, we don't have the Spirit of God that would be requisite to fix any problem that would be raised by our long sermons? Why is it that we're talking about taking care of children in a different environment, and yet Jesus himself didn't have a children's church? He didn't have somebody taking care of the children. He said, "Do not stop the children from coming to me." Why can't we have church that is going to be conducive for both parent and child?
Now that's a very important question. The only thing which we tend to learn is that even the church is progressive.
Okay.
We continue to evolve from one practice to another practice while in the same manner, in the same faith.
Right.
There are certain things which we, at some point, they were necessarily practiced, but as time moves on, we begin to have better ways of addressing all the congregants. The reason why the young man fell, he fell asleep and he, at the end he died.
Mm.
They were not taken care of. They were not being included as primary audience for the message. Probably he was just there for his father or for his mother, who just said,
"That's
no
possible.
One is remaining home."
Possible. Yes, yes, that's
so
possible.
He ended up dying.
Mm.
So for today, the church through Revelation, we have come to terms whereby we organize specifically services for children. They tend to benefit us a lot, because these kids are not going to sleep. They will be attentive. They are learning with people of their same age.
Yeah.
Even in school, in the social aspect, the education system which we attend, we have never seen a university student being taught the same subjects with the kindergarten. We have always seen that there is always a way of trying to make sure that those who tend to benefit from every stage, they are at the same level, and their level of understanding is also the same. So the church is trying to provide a safe haven here in Zimbabwe. In most of our congregations, we do have independent children's chapel, where they listen to a preacher, they ask questions, they contribute, they participate. We have even young elders, those from those pathfinders. Some they already begin to function as elders. Some they already to function as deacons and deaconesses. They are participating within the church service. So in that instance of Utico, you may find out that our children may not die physically, but they'll die spiritually. The moment we begin to combine them with the elders, they are just there physically, but spiritually they are dead. Mm. They are nowhere to be found. They can't relate with what is happening. So the church, we come back to the basis. We should always provide a safe haven for our little ones during service. When Jesus said, "Let the little ones come to me," he emphasized that even the gospel ought to reach to the little ones.
Right.
they needed attention. And during that instance, Jesus took time to minister to the little ones.
Right, right.
For a while, he anointed, he prayed for them, dedicated them, touching them. That was a ministry directed to the little ones.
Is the pastor saying that Paul and Jesus were backward and not progressive when they preached to both parents and children at the same time?
The instance which happened that time, it was circumstantial. Why do I say so? People, they just attended a preaching crusade, a preaching spree, which Jesus was conducting with his disciples. So they were not yet formally organized. But you see, correct, the difference now with our churches, we have a fixed abode, our fixed addresses. We are fixed. We are fully registered. We are fixed. And we know that if we are not here, we plan.
I understand all of the advancements of Org Church as it is now. What I'm trying to establish is the modalities of church seem to have moved away from the original form, and perhaps the truth lay in what I was asking, Mfundis. Are we therefore saying the modality of church as Christ had it and Paul had it, where he was ministering to families at the same time, it was backward, it is outdated? Are we saying the advancements and innovations that we have brought about with organization are better than those of Christ?
Yeah, we cannot say it was backward, but we just simply say it progressed.
Yes, the idea of progress means we are no longer stagnating in a place where we are not able to grow. I'm asking, therefore, are we implying by so saying that it was not good enough because you change things when they no longer work? Are we saying the modality of church where you minister to parents and children at the same time as Jesus and Paul did it, it does not work any longer? That's why we need to progress and do it differently. Yes. Is that why we're doing it differently?
During this generation, it does not work well. We can all agree to say it does not work well in our modern day. You know, those who are in their 40s and 50s, and those who are in their 11th year, 13th year, we are different worlds apart. The way we resonate, the way we understand, we are different.
Okay.
So the church has evolved from an old practice, which the church has seen that it was not good enough. So that is why the church is now established ministries specifically
children's
for
ministries.
The children, targeting the children.
Right.
During the past, and you would know that it was mandatory if your parent was a Jew, there was no way you would say, "I'm not a Jew." You would go to the church, and until you get converted. So the moment you decide to be serious, that's when you were grown to say, "For now, I've made up my mind. Let me be serious about these things." But during the past, children would just attend for formalities.
Mm.
Probably, for lack of a better word, parents would say, "We have no one to take care of the children, or we are home. So let us just go with them to the services." But the services were not primarily targeting the little ones during those days.
Okay.
But for now, through the inspiration and through many councils, we have come to realize that children form a very great part of our ministry. They are the present day church and also the church for tomorrow. So in order to make sure that our fundamental beliefs, our biblical teaching, our faith is well grounded, we make sure that we take good care of them. The way they understand arithmetic at school should be the same way they also understand the things of the spirit.
Okay. Oh, Pastor, if you did not tell me that you need to leave early today, I was going to ask a few more questions, but I do understand you have to go.
One more question.
Okay. So thank you very much for giving me one more question, Mpunis. So when we are talking about the idea of children's church, the person who asked this question said, in order to make church more accessible, and I would dare suggest, as a person who is a master guide and as a person who has observed how children's church and progressive classes have been used by parents, parents no longer have worship at home. They simply use church as a daycare center. They don't even care what children learn at children's church in the morning or the progressive classes in the afternoon. Haven't we abrogated the responsibility of the father and the mother at home and taking it and giving it to the counselors and the guides and the people who are at church to minister to our children? And as such, we don't minister to our children. Has this idea of having a children's church not caused families to slack and abrogate their job to minister to their own children?
We would also come to, in response to that, you know, as adults, we congregate every Sabbath to worship the Lord, to praise Him in song. But the church does not begin at the building, which is designated for worship. The church worship begins at home.
It should, yeah.
So could it be the children's ministries? Could it be the adults? You can't be a Christian enough if you only pray when you come to church on Sabbath.
Mm.
If you only do religious things specifically on Sabbath, and yet you're home, there is no church.
Mm.
So the church begins at home. What typically happens on Sabbath, we are just there to summarize. That is why even if you see the start guides, even for the children, they are designed in such a manner that Monday, the children are supposed to learn something. On Tuesday, they will learn something. On Wednesday, they will learn something.
But they don't, Pastor. So, that's my point. My point is, when you meet those children during their children's church in the morning or the progressive classes in the afternoon, you discover that they did not do any of the work that was meant to have been done during the week. Quite frankly, parents don't even know where their children are in terms of their progress in church.
Now it is the challenge of parents who tend to neglect their primary responsibilities of teaching their children the fundamental doctrines of our faith.
Hmm.
The church, if we were following what the church is designed for us, I tell you, we are not going to have backsliders within the church in the later years.
So should we provide this care if we know that parents are slacking? We now various churches, and I say this because as elders from different churches, we have congregated and discovered this to be a truth with many churches, not all, but many churches and many parents. Now that we know that parents treat church like a daycare center, as they do during the week, they abandon their children at the daycare center and come back tired and don't even know what's happening with the child. Same applies on Sabbath. Now that we know it's that case, let's answer this question now in that context, Mfundis. Should churches provide children's church for parents, knowing that parents don't have home church?
Yeah, the church should provide the children's services. However, we always encourage to say, whenever we are providing those services, parents should also be present. They need to know and assess what their children are learning. Who is the teacher? What subjects are they really learning?
Mm.
Where is my child lacking, right. lagging behind?
Right.
It is the responsibility of the parent. So the only challenge which we do have now is that we all begin to think that once there are teachers who are assigned to our children, as parents, we have zero responsibility to do. That is the only challenge.
I hear you,
but
Pastor.
If we know that it's a collective effort, the work becomes easier for the master guide.
Mm.
The work becomes easier for the pathfinder teacher, because it should be a collective effort,
yes.
Not only to say we come and jump our children to the elder, to those who are ministering to the children, simply because we know that there is someone who is there, and it caused a lot of sacrifice. Some of our teachers for the young ones, for your own information, they do not even have children affiliated to any of those
absolutely,
classes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But they do the work wholeheartedly. So it is our prerogative as both parents and the church leadership to participate actively, even
absolutely.
For the pastor.
Absolutely.
We are now you... It is a norm whereby we only see pastors being probably visiting to a church and preaching to the elderly.
Yes.
But the inverse should also happen to say, today we have the pastor, but the pastor is ministering only to the little ones.
Yeah.
Because they are equally important before the Lord. That's all I can say.
Got it. Thank you loud and clear, Mfundisi. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for your time and giving me the extra time. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day, Mfundisi. See you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.